JTS. Yeah. Just in time sports.
Life is good. Life is good.
Look. This is just in time sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart. He can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform, we growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts, we create the separation. Louisiana till I die, it's where I'm from, I can't replace it. So people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Ryder, I'm Jason. ESPN, better watch out, cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statements. This is just a time sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake.
He can never show you fake.
Look, if you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight.
He gon' tell it to you, he gon' tell it to you, he gon' tell it.
This is just in time sports, come and get your weekly takes.
Come and get it.
He gon' tell it to you straight, to you straight.
Welcome into the show, one of my favorite shows of the year, the Super Bowl Instant Reaction Show. As the game went off all of about 15 minutes ago, the Super Bowl MVP was just crowned. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, wait, no, I don't think I'm allowed to. I'm allowed to say that. But more importantly, that is the sound effect of the Philadelphia Eagles absolutely taking down the Kansas City Chiefs. A game that at no point was close. It was a little bit shocking. The final score ends up being 40-22, but this game at one point was 34-0. This game was not close at any point, at any moment. And it was a game that truly, to me, was decided just from a roster construction. And we speak up, and I spoke about it before, why I went back and forth for my Chiefs pick or my Eagles pick. And part of the reason, part of the concern was the Eagles have the best roster in football. And I say it's like Noah's Ark. They got two of everything. They got two good pass rushers. They got two good defensive tackles. They got, you know what I'm saying, they got two big-time receivers. They have one 2,000-yard rusher. I mean, they have two of everything, and they were just flat out the best team in football all season. Did I expect a blowout? Absolutely not. No one did. But, however, Patrick Mahomes is starting to show in big games. He can get blown out. Now, I won't sit here and say Pat can't win the big game. I'm not going to be blasphemous, right? I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, my God, Patrick Mahomes, is there a weakness in the armor? No. No, it is not. But in the two Super Bowls he's lost, he's gotten destroyed. The Tom Brady Bucks Super Bowl 31-9, and then this one 40-22. Again, that played a lot closer. It played a lot further away than 40-22. And honestly, the Bucks Super Bowl was a lot worse than 31-9. It's one of those games you're like, oh, the Bucks are up 40. And you look up, it's like, oh, it's only 22. And this game, it was like it was 34-0. And then the Chiefs started to do stat padding and just started bombing the ball down the field and clearly just trying to, you know, salvage some sort of moral victory, I suppose. But, you know, when you're on this show, you're going to run through the numbers. So let's start off with the Eagles. First of all, we're going to back up. We're going to talk about how we missed in Jack's pack. At the time, the point spread was even. I went Chiefs. So I have a minus. I have a negative in the playoff Jack's pack. That's on me, guys. That's on me. I'll take that one. But let's go through the numbers really quickly. So the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, 17-22, 221, two touchdowns, one interception, 72 rushing yards, another touchdown, and he is your Super Bowl MVP. So congratulations to Jalen Hurts for being named the Super Bowl MVP. Saquon Barkley with one of his worst games of the year, although it wasn't for lack of trying. They had 25 carries. It is the Chiefs went into this game. You can definitely tell Steve Spagnuolo went into this game saying Saquon's not going to beat us. He's beaten everybody all playoffs. He's beaten everybody most of the season. Saquon Barkley will not beat us. And great counter by Kellen Moore, future New Orleans Saints head coach, by just saying straight up, okay, that's fine. You're not going to let Saquon beat me. We're going to run a quarterback run game. We're going to move Saquon out wide. We're going to, you know what I'm saying, do a lot of reading where if you're going to crash on Saquon, Jalen Hurts is going to scamper out the back door. So great adjustment by the Philadelphia Eagles. when it came down to that. And Cooper DeJean and Zach Bond, both with huge first half interceptions, including Cooper DeJean with the pick six on his birthday. So he is the first player to score a touchdown on their birthday in an NFL championship game since Sam Van Buren in 1947. He's the first person to do it in the Super Bowl era. He's the first person to get a pick six on your birthday in the Super Bowl era. So a lot of history for Cooper DeJean. And then switching over to the Kansas City Chiefs, you have Patrick Mahomes, 21-32, 257, three touchdowns, two picks. He was also sacked six times. And he also fumbled, and he also lost a fumble. And then the big stat, Xavier Worthy had a great night, 139 yards, two touchdowns. But the big stat that I want to, two stats I want to point out in this game on the Kansas City side is that they had 24 rushing yards by not Patrick Mahomes. So they had 49 total. Mahomes had 25. So the three running backs they played in this game had a combined 24 rushing yards. I think that is a major problem, but also shows you Philadelphia's, one of their strengths was they are flat out, they had the best front seven in football. And I said it multiple times in the playoffs. I said, when it came down to the Washington Commanders, how are they going to survive it? Because again, we don't have the world's best O-line to begin with. They have the best front seven. When I went into this game, I said guard center guard, the Chiefs are the best. The problem is Joe Tooney, who makes up the third member of the guard center guard trio that would be the best to protect Patrick Mahomes inside, was playing left tackle because the left tackle was hurt. And then the other tackle is Juwan Taylor, who the human turnstile. So that put him in a bad spot. All the pressure constantly all night came from those tackles. So even when Mahomes, he had to step up, now you're getting Jalen Carter. Now you're getting the rest of that front seven right through the middle. And it was tragic. But again, the six sacks jump out to me the most, but the 24 rushing yards you just can't have. And another thing that I want to point out too, Next Gen Stats has released that the Philadelphia Eagles at no point blitzed in any of Patrick Mahomes' passes. So that's a four-man rush or less. And a blitz is anything more than four. They did not blitz at any point. That's insane. With the amount of pressure he was under, and he got sacked six times, but he danced away from probably four or five more. And they really stopped the run with four. I mean, that is all-time impressive to not have to blitz a guy like Patrick Mahomes to be as effective as they were. And I definitely do want to quantify again that this game, a lot of the numbers from Patrick Mahomes, and I'm sure the numbers are going to be out tomorrow. They'll get a little more breakdown, but a lot of the numbers from Patrick Mahomes came late third and in the fourth quarter when they were down 34-0. They did not have a touchdown until they were down 34-0. So the DeAndre Hopkins touchdown was, shout out to him. I think his career needs to be over. He looked really old out there. But shout out to D-Hop for getting a touchdown and a two-point conversion in the Super Bowl. And then Xavier Worthy making his presence known by getting two big-time touchdowns, one on a Mahomes signature scramble and another on a bomb. So I'm sure Xavier Worthy is going to do a lot over the rest of his career. But congratulations, man, to the Philadelphia Eagles. You guys have earned it. You were the best roster in football. Shout out Nick Sirianni, a guy that I know for one, I have been openly about, man, they might want to look in a different direction. And not because Sirianni was a bad coach. Not because I thought he was a bad coach. He's no Zach Taylor. But I definitely was just looking at the fact that some people don't get you there. Again, like I've said about Mike Tomlin or a John Harbaugh, both of those guys are great coaches, all time. To me, both Hall of Fame level coaches, but I think they've run their course in their cities. I thought maybe Nick Sirianni may have run his course in Philly. Not that he should be never head coaching in the NFL again, but maybe he simply has just run his course in Philadelphia. Because he's been there a couple years ago, and I have blamed Sirianni. I won't sit here and be like, oh, I've never blamed Sirianni. No, I've blamed Nick Sirianni for things, but the head coach takes the brunt of the blame when this stuff happens because either you coach it or you allow it or you hired it. So if the defensive coordinator is bad, you hired the DC. If the offense is bad, you hired the OC. If the players are tripping on the field, you allow it to happen or you coach it to happen, right? So that is kind of what I thought about Nick Sirianni. I thought he may have mismanaged some things. I thought he's had some bad clock management situations in overtime. But as far as being a bad coach, again, I don't look at him like he's Zach Taylor. I don't look at him like he was Dennis Allen. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I didn't look at him that way. Like he was Brandon Staley. None of those guys. But I thought maybe they just needed a guy to finish the job. turns out they did. His name's Saquon Barkley. Yeah, that's who needed to finish the job. It wasn't a coaching issue, or it wasn't a coaching issue per se. They got to switch out the head coach. But you know, they had the right offensive coordinator, they had the right defensive coordinator, and they added Saquon Barkley. Like I said, the Giants gifted them Saquon Barkley with a, I mean, very modest running back deal. 3 years, to what, $37 million or something like that. So very modest deal in that case. But again, congratulations to the Eagles. If you are the Kansas City Chiefs, first of all, I don't want to hear GOAT for a pretty long time when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. You've gotten blown out now in 2 Super Bowls. Tom Brady's never been blown out. Oh, by the way, one of those blowouts was to Tom Brady. Tom Brady has more Super Bowl championships than every franchise in the history of the league. Tom Brady has all the yards, all the touchdowns, all the winning, all the stats. You have a great start. Keyword, start. Tom Brady has a lot of MVPs. You don't. So, you know, take your time, buddy. You've had a hell of a start, Patrick. You've had a great start. You've had a, oh my God, an all-time start. I spoke about it on the last show, man. You have the worst season you've ever had winning-wise. You lost in the AFC Championship game. You have played in the AFC Championship game every year you started. It's so bad, it's commonly known now as the Arrowhead Invitational, because not only have you played in the AFC Championship game, you have hosted it 6 out of the 7 years. So, yeah, no, all due respect, you're the guy right now, but you're not the GOAT. So let's just quell that. And it's not like a LeBron Jordan thing where it's like, okay, LeBron and Jordan literally never crossed paths except for that mythical pickup game when LeBron was 16 or 17 and Jordan's like last year in the NBA. They played a pickup game in the summer. It was either Jordan had retired and was still playing in the summer, like playing like a little pickup game, or it was entering his last season, or LeBron was entering his senior year of high school. Whatever it was, but it was right around that time period. LeBron was 16 or 17. And there is stories about how good LeBron was in that game. And it was Jordan and a bunch of other pros and LeBron. So there's stories about how good LeBron was in that game, but there's no footage. Like, the footage has never come out. But their paths never crossed. So in a game that mattered. So there's like, it's the equivalency of like if Jordan had the numbers, which he doesn't, and the rings and all the other stuff, and he beat you, and he would have beat LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals and then turn around and beat him in the playoffs. And it's just like, okay, well, you can't really be the GOAT now, right? Like, you have no leg to stand on. That's kind of how I feel about the Patrick Mahomes Brady thing. It's like Brady has more rings, more stats, more time, more everything, and he's beating you in a conference championship game and a Super Bowl. The reason you don't have 5 rings is 2 of those reasons is Tom Brady twice, one in New England and one in Tampa. So no shade to Patrick Mahomes. Amazing start to the career. You're clearly the guy in the era. It's you, then a gap, then Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow. Not Mahomes. It's you, then a gap, then Burrow, Allen, and Lamar, then a gap, then everybody else. Right? So I'm not going to even begin to disrespect you and, you know, say that you're not the guy, because you're the guy right now, right? But at the same time, you're not the GOAT. No shame in that. There's no problem in that, right? You're just not. But from the Kansas City Chiefs perspective, where do you go from here? Financially, you can just restructure Patrick Mahomes' contract and free up money for whoever you want. I don't think Travis Kelce plays football next year. I really don't. He signed a $100 million, and I've said it on the show before, he signed a $100 million contract with, you know, for his podcast with his brother. His mom's involved in the media. He's dating Taylor Swift. He looked really old most of the season. He kind of channeled Travis Kelce for a couple of games. But for the most part, he just wasn't there anymore. It reminds me when Gronk for Tampa. All regular season, he was hurt. He was, you know, people were saying he barely was playing in the games, which is true. He was barely. I mean, he was getting like 3-4 targets a game. Like, playing like 30% of the snaps, 40% of the snaps. He's trying to make it. And then in the playoffs, he braced everything up. He held it together with duct tapes and glue and prayers. And he had one great Gronk run. He had one play a game in the games. And he put together one game in that run. He put together a catch every game that he needed to have. Travis Kelce was impactless in this game. They weren't even like doubling him. They were just singling him. I mean, it was... they doubled him in certain spots, but like for the most part, he was one on one or just in guarded like everyone else. That's not Travis Kelce, right? And so I don't think Travis Kelce plays football next year. I don't know if Chris Jones will be back, but Travis Kelce not playing football next year. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins at least plays for the Chiefs. If DeAndre Hopkins plays, he's not a Chief. Now, granted, their runway is kind of long-ish. Your defense is young. Patrick Mahomes, obviously. Andy Reid's already said he's back. I think you have an offensive line problem, which I believe they either address in free agency or they address in the draft, potentially both. Everyone's, for lack of a better term, wet dream was Myles Garrett ends up a Chief. I don't think that happens anymore, or at least not priority number one. I don't think you restructure Patrick Mahomes to get him Myles Garrett. I think you restructure Patrick Mahomes to get him a left tackle. I think you restructure Patrick Mahomes to get him, you know what I'm saying, an offensive line help, another running back. I don't think you restructure Mahomes to get Myles Garrett. I mean, that's just me, because you have to trade away assets. You have to trade around your one this year, possibly your one next year, and pay him a boatload of money. To me, it's just smarter to keep those ones. And if you're going to make that move, make it for a left tackle, you know what I'm saying? Or right, you go get him an offensive lineman as opposed to just go and get, you know, the best player available. It's a cute idea. It's a sexy idea. It's a fun idea to say, oh, man, yeah, though Myles Garrett to the Chiefs would be crazy. Him and Chris Jones, man. That didn't solve the problems you had tonight. And I think the Chiefs are a little too smart for that. I think certain organizations are too smart to sign name just about the name. You know, like I think certain people actually go about signing their business and getting their business taken care of, signing people who matter, as opposed to signing just a cool name. Because it would be pretty dope to have Myles Garrett on the Chiefs. I'm not going to lie to you. As a football fan, it'd be amazing. But I think that the Chiefs are smart enough to where they're not just going to sign somebody purely because it sounds fun. So I think if they're going to reallocate at all Patrick Mahomes, they're going to do it to get him on offensive lineman. It was clear the run game failed early and the blocking failed late. Or it failed early too, but the run game was done quickly. I mean, but the Chiefs told you that, right? In play selection and play calling. Andy Reid tells you what he thinks he can hit or what he knows he can't hit by his play sheet in the first 15 plays. The first 15 plays had two runs, I think. I know one for sure. I'm going to give him two. He told you, we know we can't run the ball, so we're going to try and throw it. Now, what he didn't anticipate, or maybe what he did and hoped wouldn't come to fruition, was the Eagles not having to blitz and cause absolute hell. In his worst nightmare, that was the case, where they can send four, drop seven, and they can still, you know, 2.5 seconds, they're folding the pocket in. So I think that was something he did not want to happen, but it did. And Patrick Mahomes, man, they're going to have to reevaluate some things in KC. And it's not like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, man, that team, you know, they're going to have to figure out and overhaul everything. And no, they're not. But they had 12 one-score victories. They had 12 come-from-behind victories. All season, they've been playing on the edge. And it was one of my things, it was one of my tenets in just-in-time sports, especially in Jack's Pack. I faded them all season. I was like, whatever the spread was, they're not going to cover it. Like, just it doesn't matter what the spread is, they're not going to cover it, which they didn't tonight. The spread game time was -1. They lost by 18, so they didn't even cover it tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't cover the spread. I would love to see their against the spread number, because I know every time I picked against them in the spread, it hit. They just didn't cover the spread. They were not a team that was blowing anybody out. They were not a team that was going to physically, you know what I'm saying, just beat you down. Like, old Chiefs teams used to maul you just to, like, hit you with 28 unanswered points, and it's like, oh, it's over. Two of those are Patrick Baum. One of them is just, you know what I'm saying, like, two of them are great drives. One of them is a Patrick Bombs, and one of them is a Patrick Miracle play where he scrambles around and all this other stuff, and he flips it and touchdown magically. And you're like, what in the hell? But they didn't have that this year. Again, a lot of one-score games. 12 victories in one-score games. 12 come-from-behind victories. Think about it. If they do with a league average, which is like 40% in one-score games, they don't make the playoffs. Even if you give them 60%, which is, I mean, out of 12, what, 7? 7 out of 12, they still don't make the playoffs, right? So they were all-time exceptional in one-score games all season. They've been teetering on the edge all season, and they finally came back to bite them. They couldn't come back against this Eagles team. But moving on to the Eagles, man, again, congratulations. I mean, that's the first thing. Congratulations. Congratulations to everybody in the organization. Now, this organization has won the Super Bowl fairly recently. 2017, it's been about 8 years. The Nick Foles Super Bowl, which Carson Wentz gets hurt. You know, one of Brady's last years in New England. Carson Wentz gets hurt. Nick Foles takes over week 18, has a shaky game, and then puts on that amazing run. Crazy conference championship, crazy Super Bowl. By Nick Foles. He outduels Brady through for 505 that night. But that was the last time they won the Super Bowl. Now, they've been in the Super Bowl, what, 2 years ago? Played the Chiefs. Chiefs came back on them then from down 10 in the fourth quarter to Patrick Mahomes to win his second Super Bowl. Now they get a chance to rematch it, and they have the opportunity to win the game, and they do, right? And they don't give it any hope. They don't give it any doubt. Again, shout out Nick Sirianni, man. It's hard. Super Bowl prep is hard. So you have the advantage of usually teams that enter a Super Bowl both don't know what it feels like. Maybe one does. Like, again, the Chiefs have been here 5 times in 7 years. You know, so they're used to playing this long. They're used to the 2 week break. They're used to the media. Like, they're just used to it. Trent McDuffie has been in the league 3 years. He's played in the Super Bowl all 3 years. He literally doesn't. Well, this is his first time ever not being a champion. Like, not having the confetti fall on his face and so on and so forth. But he literally doesn't know what it's like to not play in this week. Like, this is normal for him. Being able to handle that late, especially late season bye. Really early travel, like you fly into the whole city on like Monday because you're doing media from Monday through Saturday. And then because media day is like Wednesday or Thursday, media's constantly in your face. You're practicing in a strange location. You're away from your family for a week. You're in a hotel room for a week. Like, it's really weird. The Super Bowl prep and the Super Bowl week, it's just strange. Like, it's not like if you're not used to it, it's a really weird situation. It's kind of like the international games. Well, like, you'll fly, like, the game might be on Sunday, but you'll fly on, like, Tuesday because you have to get used to the body, used to the turf out there, used to the air. Like, it's just a different environment. That's what Super Bowl week is. The crowd is different. The media is different. For the first time, like I said, you're in your hotel room from probably Monday, maybe Tuesday, because media day usually Wednesday. So most teams fly out a day before media day, and you're just in your hotel room. You hear the hoopla, you see it, but you're practicing still 3 times. You got all this media, all these media sessions. You're in a strange city. You're in a hotel room. Like, it's just, you know, and it's weird. It's like, especially if you're a star player, you're locked in. Like, you know, you're trying to be locked in as much as possible. But I can imagine, like, the 53rd guy, Bourbon Street might look a little appealing, especially because no one knows me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, Patrick Mahomes can't go walk down Bourbon Street. It doesn't matter, Super Bowl or not. Like, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith, like, Chris Jones, those guys can't go walk down Bourbon Street. But, like, the backup left guard might be able to go down Bourbon Street. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Gainwell's a known player, but, like, no one knows what Gainwell looks like. He could probably make it down Bourbon Street. So just having that distraction of being in a Super Bowl city, especially a party city like New Orleans, kudos to the Eagles for, like, yeah, bouncing back in this process. A shout out Jalen Hurts, man, a guy that was doubted at a lot of levels, and they spoke about it in the podcast. Like, he got benched in the national championship game to a freshman, Tua Tagovailoa, by the greatest college coach of all time, Nick Saban. Pretty much was told, like, you're not going to start here anymore, and moves to Oklahoma. Ends up finishing, doesn't win the Heisman, Oklahoma. Many thought he should have, or could have, rather. He goes into the second round of the NFL draft, not even the first round pick. He wasn't even ever truly supposed to be the guy. Like, a lot of people in Philly were still low-key hoping for Carson Wentz. He takes over. His head coach almost gets fired multiple times. I saw a stat on Twitter where he hasn't had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row since high school. I mean, he's just constantly overcoming things, constantly battling. Like I said, his head coach is expected to be named – his offensive coordinator, I'm sorry, is expected to be named the head coach of the New Orleans Saints within 72 hours, I'm going to say. You know, within the next 3 days, I'm recording this, like I say, right after the game. It's 10 o'clock local time. If Kellen Moore is not officially the head coach of the New Orleans Saints by Wednesday this time, the Saints are a joke of an organization. Like, I'm just plain and simple, you're a laughing stock. Because he's your only real candidate left, and everyone else has either told you no or told you no. Like, you've really got no other options here. But they had a chance to really redeem themselves. It's like, in life, you don't get second chances, right? But this group, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman, the GM, Arthur Blank, the owner, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, kind of think some other guys on that team the first time. Those guys were there 2 years ago when they played the Chiefs, and they were up 10 in the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs came back and won. You can see it, obviously, it hits for everybody. Like Cooper DeJean, dude, you're a rookie. And you caught a pick six in the Super Bowl on your birthday, and you're going to be a Super Bowl champion. Like, you know, it hits for everybody, but it especially hits for those guys who've especially lost to that team. Now they get a chance to come back, beat that team in a dominating fashion, and win the Super Bowl. If you're the Eagles, I know it's a conversation you don't want to have right now, but it's one I think you need to at least keep your eye on, you know, after the parade kind of thing. Like, worry about it after the parade. But Kellen Moore is going to be the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. Like, that is all but decided. And you had his head coach on the podium say, let's run this bleep back. Like, because everybody pretty much knows he's gone, right? So you're going to have to find a new OC, which is not abnormal for Jalen Hurts' career. It is what it is. We're going to find a new OC. Financially, you're going to run into a problem. If I'm Saquon Barkley, I'm raising hell in the offseason. Like, I need my money, right? Like, I've won, so now I need my money. I'm raising hell in the offseason. What you going to do about A.J. Brown? I get it, he scored. But in the Super Bowl, up 30, he was, like, in an argument. He was in an argumentative state. What are you going to do with A.J. Brown? What are you going to do about this defense? While it's cheap-ish currently, they're going to get very expensive very fast in that front seven, and you still don't have a secondary. So there's plenty of questions in Philadelphia to go around. Howie Roseman's a great GM, so I'm sure he'll get it together and figure it out. But there's plenty of questions in Philadelphia to go around. But the NFL season is over. The 2024 season's over. I'm sure they are going insane in Philadelphia right now. Light poles, grease, and everything so they don't tear them down. Somebody protect the Liberty Bell. But... and the Constitution. I don't know if it's there or not, but it was written there. Somebody protect that too. But the 2024 season is over. Your league MVP again is Josh Allen. Your Super Bowl champion of the Philadelphia Eagles with Super Bowl MVP Jalen Hurts. We saw a lot this season. We saw Saquon Barkley break the single season rushing record, including playoffs, in NFL history. He was so close to it in the regular season, but he broke it, including the playoffs. He was 30 away entering the game. He got 57. We saw the end of the Chiefs' three-peat hopes. We saw Saquon hurdle someone backwards. We saw a lot of coaches get fired. We saw the revitalization of the Washington Commanders franchise under Jaden Daniels. We saw Jim Harbaugh's back in football. We saw the end of Aaron Rodgers in New York. I mean, this is such a crazy show. I didn't even talk about that. But Aaron Rodgers being told by the new Jets brass, yeah, dude, you're out. Such a crazy, crazy year, man. All the moments, and I'm sure they'll flood all over the timeline in the next few weeks or so. People will miss football soon. But the 2024 season's over. NFL, great job. And I'm not one of those who's gonna sit here and claim script or fake or whatever. Absolutely great season. Cinema at its finest. That's why it's the best sport in the world, right? That's why it's the greatest league in the world. They can say what they want. European soccer, Euro League, and all that stuff has a time advantage. But it's the greatest, best league in the world. It's the greatest league in the world, the NFL. They do it right every single time. They find a way to stretch it and pull and find a way into a new market, into a new lane every single year. They find a way to stay in our minds, stay on these microphones every single year. And we're going to have a short reprieve, and then here comes, you know, free agency, and here comes the trades, and, you know, you've already got, you know, Deebo Samuel's permission to seek a trade, and Cooper Kupp seeking a trade, and Myles Garrett wants out, and Aaron Rodgers out in New York. So the drama already is going full-fledged for the offseason, but I'm sure we'll see a lot more. We'll see Mickey Loomis maneuvering a whole bunch of money down and the Saints somehow adding players. And we'll see the Patriots with that 130 under Mike Vrabel. And we'll see what Pete Carroll wants to change the culture in Vegas. And we'll see Aaron Glenn's project in New York. So we'll see Detroit for the first time have to deal with the loss of coordinators, so on and so forth. So it is going to be an absolutely great 2025 season. But again, thank you, 2024, culminating with the biggest party in the league happening in the Party City of America, New Orleans. But that is all I have for you today. I hope you have enjoyed this podcast as much as you enjoyed the game, if not more, in the halftime show. Shout out Kendrick Lamar for a great show. A lot of imagery and symbolism there that I'm sure people will have to explain to others over the next couple of weeks. But this is your host, Justin Jackson, signing out. Thank you.